The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I hope you all enjoyed your long weekend. There is so much to talk about that it was really quite difficult for me to try to sift through all the bits of information, news stories that happened before the Shavuot weekend, and indeed things over the period of Shavuot, and lots and lots of drama. You know, we saw the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson survive that very dramatic vote last night. He is apparently alive but bruised. And I think something similar can be said for our Prime Minister Naftali Bennett.
Absolutely. So let's go through some of the news stories. The government of Yair Lapid and Naftali Bennett has been left in crisis after failing to pass two important bills in the Knesset yesterday. What are the details of the current crisis?
So yesterday there were two important attempts to try to pass bills through the Knesset. And effectively, the message that we've received loud and clear from the Knesset is that we really have an unworkable situation because the government is unable to pass important legislation through the Knesset. And the writing on the wall at the moment is that the life of this particular government, the days seem to be numbered, because it just doesn't seem to be in a workable situation with the number of defections that we've seen, number of people who have resigned from the government, leaving it without a workable majority in the Knesset. Yesterday was a classic case, classic example of why it is that a working majority in the Knesset is really something that's just a basic requirement in order to allow any government to be able to work. And of course, Naftali Bennett's government at the moment doesn't have that working majority. Interesting that it was late last week, that it was a year since the government was actually put into power. Naftali Bennett reaching out to the general public saying that the silent majority should have their say in order to exercise their views, because he feels that the days of this particular government are numbered, only in being in office for a year and already now discovering that life in the government is not quite as easy as it might be made out from the outside. Yesterday's attempts to pass legislation involved, firstly, the law that would have imposed Israeli legal jurisdiction, Israeli law over Israelis living in Judea and Samaria. Now, this is a very, very complex and convoluted situation because, as listeners will all probably know, Judea and Samaria were pieces of land that were captured during the 1967 Six-Day War. Israeli law has never been formally imposed on Judea and Samaria simply because that area has not been annexed to Israel. And the whole idea of annexing Judea and Samaria to Israel is in and of itself a very, very complex argument. Let's take, for example, East Jerusalem, which has been annexed to Israel, and therefore Israeli law applies automatically to that particular area because of the fact that it has been annexed. The concept of the notion of annexation of Judea and Samaria would be an interesting discussion for us to hold, Howard, as to whether this is a good idea or not a good idea, given what's happened and the water that's flown under the bridge since 1967, when that land was actually captured in the war, in the Six-Day War. But as it turns out, it has never been annexed to Israel, and as such, since 1967, the Israeli government has approved every 5 years the imposition of Israeli law over people living in Judea and Samaria, particularly over Israelis living in Judea and Samaria. And that law has been renewed every 5 years without any problem, up until now, that is, because yesterday that law was brought for renewal to the Knesset. Let's bear in mind that the Likud party who are in the opposition and who voted against this law are actually ones who've been perpetuating and voting in favor of this law over many, many decades. So this should theoretically not be controversial. This should be a shoo-in. This should be a law that everybody signs up to, that everybody agrees to, because over the decades, over the 50, 60 odd years that Israel has been in a situation of having rulership over Judea and Samaria, even though Israel has not annexed this territory, the law has been passed to allow Israeli law to apply to Judea and Samaria. Well, that was all put out the window yesterday. And of course, what we saw yesterday was the Likud voting against this law, not because they don't believe in the law, not because they oppose the substance of the legislation, but because they want to use it as a lever to bring down the Naftali Bennett government. So here we have a classic case of put the substance out of the window and let's try and fight party politics. That's really what we saw yesterday. Sure. Forget about what it is that we're voting in favor of or against. Let's just vote against it, because we know that by doing it, it puts the government
at risk. So is there no, I mean, and I guess it's politics, so I'm being very naive in asking the question, but surely the future of the country and the running of the country should stand above your wish for petty politics to take over? Or is that too much to ask?
Yeah, apparently so. Should, of course, stand above petty politics is right. But this government and this Knesset that we see now is really all about petty politics, because of course the Likud have smelt that they might be able to bring the government down, and it looks as if though they may well succeed in doing so, because if this is what the government has to contend with, then we have an unworkable situation. We simply have an unworkable situation. And what we saw later in the evening, which was a slightly less significant issue, but nonetheless, just further demonstration of the fact that we have a Knesset that is unworkable, was the appointment of Matan Kahana as the religious affairs minister. There was a political ploy that was used when he resigned his position in order to take up a Knesset seat. And now that he's taken up that Knesset seat, which is considered to have been a Knesset seat to shore up the government, he then wants to be reappointed as religious affairs minister. And we saw a situation yesterday where there was a tie, 55 votes each, with Idit Silman interestingly voting against the government on this particular one, and therefore now running herself into a risky situation where she will be declared a renegade and could potentially be excluded from the next Knesset as a result of that particular action that she took yesterday. But she felt that it was important enough for her to actually vote against the government. And in doing so, she managed to bring the situation into 55 votes each way, which means effectively that the appointment was not carried and was not passed. And she's not really the only member of the government voting against these important laws, because in the earlier vote at the Knesset, in the Knesset with regard to the extension of Israeli law over Judea and Samaria, we saw members of Meretz and members of the United Arab List, who are members of the government, signed up members of the government, and not have not in any way indicated their unwillingness to be part of the governing coalition, but they voted against the government on this particular bill. So it in the end, the government was defeated by 58 votes to 52, which is quite a significant defeat given the very, very tenuous and very sensitive situation that the Knesset finds itself in at the moment. So the question is, what happens now? First of all, as of the end of June, I think that the government has until the end of June in order to pass this renewal of Israeli law over Judea and Samaria, potentially as of the end of June, the 1st of July, Israeli law will simply not apply to those people living in Judea and Samaria. I can't imagine what that means, because that is, for all intents and purposes, part of Israel, and it is unfathomable that Israeli law would not apply to people living there. So I know that Defense Minister Benny Gantz has now gone away to try to work out what he might be able to do without the need for legislation, in order to somehow apply law and order in that particular part of what really is part of Israel. But of course, all of this, all that this does, it really feeds the people who feel that Israel doesn't belong there, that this is not part of Israel, that is, this is so-called occupied territories.
It's really a matter of shooting oneself in the foot or cutting off one's nose.
It really is.
It's just very, very unimpressive in terms of, I think, the inability to rise above basic politics. Quite disappointing, I think.
And of course, the Likud supporters are now saying, well, this is the end of the so-called left-wing government of Lapid and of Bennett, and that the right-wingers will re-seize the Knesset and will re-seize the government of Israel. The problem is, of course, that the Likud and their supporters cannot muster a majority in the Knesset, according to the latest opinion polls, in order to take hold of the government. So what would potentially happen if this government was to fall is that we would re-enter that perpetual election cycle where no single party or no coalition can be formed, because there just isn't enough support on either side of the House. And what that would mean is that the current government under Naftali Bennett would simply continue to roll without any Knesset support. Now, there are people in Israel who turn around and say, that's actually not such a bad thing. Because while it was the government of Prime Minister Netanyahu at the time, there was a lot of debate and a lot of suspicion about what Netanyahu's true intentions were, continuing to be prime minister without the Knesset support, but also having to fight these charges of corruption. And he was doing a lot, taking a lot of action at the time in order to muster his own personal situation up in order to have to fight these corruption charges. Fortunately, in the case of Naftali Bennett, we don't have that issue. And so there are those people who feel that he would continue to act in the best interests of the state of Israel, and that we could find ourselves in a much worse situation than having no Knesset and a prime minister like Naftali Bennett to lead until such time as we can finally get an election majority and a new government appointed. So for those people who feel that this is now the opportunity of the so-called right wing to take control of the government, there's a little bit of news waiting for them at the end of any election cycle. They don't have enough support to take over the government. So we're going to be back into this state of
limbo. Which is why it was in this position in the first place.
Exactly. So we're going to be back into limbo if indeed this government is forced to fall, if there is a vote of no confidence which forces the government to relinquish its situation. It obviously is not desirable, because
not
we need the Knesset there and we need to govern, but we could potentially be back into a cycle like that.
Absolutely unbelievable. Thai security forces have thwarted attempts by Iran to attack Israelis. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so it's been a very, very busy Shavuot in Iran. And I don't know if people have been following exactly how things have been panning out in Iran over the long Shavuot weekend. But not only did we have that assassination, that death of the Iranian colonel, which has been blamed on Israel, which was carried out in the middle of Tehran. But since then, we've had two more suspicious deaths that have taken place of senior high-profile individuals in Iran. Another one, a colonel within the Iranian senior military forces, who met his death very, very suspiciously. It was reported that he fell off the roof. Now, there are those people
who fall off roofs.
Well, one wonders what he was doing on the roof in the first place. But there are those people who suspect that he was taken out of the system by the Iranians themselves for because they suspect that he might have been giving information, acting as something of an agent, an intelligence agent, and providing secret information to the enemy, whoever that might be, and that he was simply taken out of the system. another suspicious death occurred, this time by food poisoning, of a senior Iranian engineer who has been photographed in the presence of very, very senior Iranian officials, including the Iranian president and others, someone who apparently has been very involved in being involved in engineering things surrounding not necessarily the nuclear program, but other military activities that Iran has been up to. And of course, as a result of some of these very, very strange and unexplained events that are going on in Iran, the threat against Israelis has certainly gone up a notch. And we know that Iran does like to carry out revenge attacks against Israeli travelers, tourists who travel abroad. This time, the target apparently is Thailand, although this threat in Thailand is not a new threat, because actually we know that the Thai authorities have already been involved in arresting somebody last year, somebody who was suspected of planning some terror attacks in Thailand, and was carrying a fake Bulgarian passport, was arrested in Indonesia, and Thai security forces have remained on high alert, claiming that they have also upped their activities just in recent days and weeks in order to be on the lookout for Iranian spies, many of whom they feel are roaming around Thailand. We know that Thailand is a very popular destination for Israeli tourists, particularly people who have just finished their military training and want to get a little bit of downtime, escape from some of the tension that is here in Israel, and they like to go to Thailand. It's a very popular place to meet Israelis if that's what you like to do. And of course, it's also considered to be a target location from an Iranian point of view, because they could be carry out quite an effective attack against Israel and Israelis in Thailand. So we now have the Thai security forces cooperating in order to try to prevent that. So some warnings that have been issued for Israeli tourists to be very, very vigilant and very careful when traveling abroad.
Anthony Rach, thank you as always. It is 8:01. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.